Our scripture reading today comes from Psalm 84, and we read it together responsively. How dear to me is your dwelling, O Lord of hosts!
My soul has a desire and longing for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh long for your God.
Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest where she may lay her young. By the side of your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God.
Happy are they who dwell in your house. They will always be praising you.
Happy are the people whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on the pilgrim way.
Those who go through the lost valley will find a place of springs, for the early rains have covered it with pools of water.
They will climb from height to height, and the God of gods will be seen in Zion.
For one day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather stand at the threshold of the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked.
For the Lord is both sun and shield, bestowing grace and glory. No good thing will the Lord withhold from those who walk with integrity. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I traveled to Western New York the last week of August for a four-day retreat with a colleague. We met and stayed at the Abbey of the Genesee near Geneseo, New York, where a group of brothers have dedicated their lives, as the website says, to a monastic institute wholly ordered to contemplation. They lead a monastic way of life in solitude and silence, in assiduous prayer and joyful penitence. Oh yeah, and they make and sell monk's bread, which is really good. So let me invite you to try that. Every day, the brothers gather for worship at 3:30 a.m., 7 a.m., noon, 5:30 p.m., and 7:30 p.m., Their way of life together is defined by that routine. My friend and I were invited to join them at their services, but we opted not to attend at 3:30. Learning about the brothers' daily routine and dedication to this rule of life raised many questions for me and my friend. We ran into one of the brothers after a service and talked with him for a while. We learned that he had been a farmer before joining the Abbey. Since then, he had been following the Abbey's worship routine for 44 years. And 44 years later, he said that he was still learning what it means to be committed to God and to know God's love and to trust it and live by it. It's a journey, he said, not because he was going anywhere physically, but because he's traveling the landscape of God's love and grace, and constantly learning about God and himself along the way. He's on a pilgrimage, a journey of faith and life that lasts a lifetime. We all know what it's like to go on a journey or a trip, but how many of us would say that we're on a pilgrimage? And where are we headed anyway? Today's scripture lesson, Psalm 84, is called a song of ascent. It's a pilgrimage song. It was meant to bolster the determination and energy and enthusiasm of travelers headed to Jerusalem. In the ancient world, many religions encouraged pilgrimages to sacred places. And for the Jews, that sacred place was the temple in Jerusalem. Devout Jews would leave their homes and villages and travel days, even weeks or months, to come to Jerusalem for one of the great feasts or festivals like Passover. Without all our modern forms of transportation and all the conveniences that we take with us on our trips, such journeys could have been very arduous. You know what it's like to be in a car for hours with an impatient kid. Are we there yet? How much longer? 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 And what it's like to be patient through all of that. Imagine traveling on foot and camping along roadsides for days and weeks on end. How many of you remember playing games like license plate alphabet and singing songs to pass the time? The songs of ascent were travel songs of the people of Israel who were on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. They were songs that painted a picture and reminded weary travelers of where they were going and why it would be worth it. The psalm is like saying, when we get to the ocean in Maine, we will see whales and seals. When we get to Disney World, we will meet Mickey Mouse and all the Disney princesses. When we get to Colorado, we will climb mountain paths and see elk and moose. Author Scott Hosey writes, for the Israelites, the much anticipated sights and sounds were of a decidedly holy and pious nature. It was the temple, the dwelling place of the Most High God in Zion, that set their pulses racing. Their ardent belief that the God of Israel really had established his earthly headquarters in Jerusalem at that destination in the temple made it the singularly most amazing destination in the world. What could compare with going to the place where God lived? Not the vast pyramids of Egypt. Those were just mausoleums. Tombs to dead kings and all of the stuff and all the wannabe gods that they thought they were. Certainly not the hanging gardens of Babylon. What is a bunch of shrubbery compared to the home of the one who created and made the heavens and the earth and every kind of growing thing that we can think of? With every step that they took toward Jerusalem, their anticipation grew. They were headed to meet God. And Psalm 84 only increased their reason for their pilgrimage. The more they sang it, the more it made them excited to arrive. And who can blame them? Look at what happens to the writer of the psalm when he goes to the temple. How dear to me is your dwelling. My soul has a desire and a longing for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh rejoice in the living God. Even the sparrow and the swallow, God's creation, are welcomed there. The writer is happy and trusting and strong. The house of God offers safety from the temptations of the wicked, and it's a place where he experiences grace and all the good things God gives. The writer even feels like a person of integrity after spending time in God's house. He leaves there, trusting God. Who wouldn't want to make such a trip and become that person? Being in the presence of God was so great, it was so fulfilling, so worth the trip, that one day in God's house was better than 1,000 anywhere else. I would rather be a lowly servant in the house of God, he writes, than dwell in the tents of the wicked. This is what they sang on their pilgrimage. And singing it made them happy. Happy are the people whose hearts are set on the pilgrim way, the writer sang. Happy are those who become a pilgrim and commit to the journey. Now, to be clear, when he uses the word pilgrim, he isn't thinking of that group of people who came over to this country 400 years ago and are now forever frozen in time as decorations at our Thanksgiving tables. The kind of pilgrim he's thinking of is more like the Latin word peregrinus, which means the wayfarer or the foreigner. It refers to the journey of a person who travels to a shrine or a holy place. In his book, School of the Pilgrim, An Alternative Path to Christian Growth, Brett Webb Mitchell, a Presbyterian pastor, writes, "To be a pilgrim on pilgrimage is to be a person who is on the move, making a journey, which may be difficult and often long, to some specific place, such as a religious or sacred shrine or other important marker, with or without a group of people, over a span of time. Being on the move, making a journey, a pilgrimage. That's the kind of pilgrim the psalmist is singing about. Such enthusiasm for the journey, such hope for the destination, it invites us to consider today, where are we headed as pilgrims ourselves? We don't have a particular place like the temple to which we can travel, because as Christians, we have become temples of God, temples of God's Spirit. Each and every one of us is a living, breathing, walking temple of God's Spirit now. And together we make up the living body of Christ on earth, where two or three are gathered in Christ's name, there God dwells in their midst. But life is motion, and how we live it each day, the pilgrimage we take through this life, either opens us up to God's presence in us and with us, to meaning and purpose in life, or it cuts us off from it. In his book, The Whole Earth Shall Cry Glory, George MacLeod invites his readers to open themselves up to God's presence in life and ministry by offering this simple prayer. We ask you to make us expectant instead of planners. We ask you to make us seekers rather than know-it-alls. We ask you for grace so that we are ready to receive. It's a timely prayer as we begin a new program year and continue our journey of life, faith, and ministry together. And as we ask together, where are we headed? It's the question given to us to answer as a church. We may not know the final destination, but we can be expectant seekers ready to receive God's grace because we already know some things that will happen along the way. This morning, we have embarked on a new journey of faith with Clara as we help her and her family live into her baptism, the same baptism that we commit to with every person baptized. We have a new challenge now before us, to grieve and to celebrate the music ministry that we enjoyed with Simona, and to be open as well to what is next as we move forward. We have the work of a capital campaign ahead of us, a journey that seeks to clarify our vision and strengthen our foundation so that we can continue to create and live compelling worship, lifelong faith formation, intentional fellowship, inspirational stewardship, and transformational mission. Ultimately, we are headed to God's house, not some far-off place, not some historical monument or heavenly palace, but the place where we are embraced by the love and grace of God in Jesus Christ, and then sent out to be pilgrim messengers of God's good news to all the world. How can we be pilgrims together through all of this and the fullness of our ministry? What can we do to become expectant seekers who are ready to receive God's grace and who are open to follow God's Spirit into the future? How can we, as we seek to upgrade our facilities and expand our ministries, create a place that welcomes others and helps them navigate the landscape of God's love and grace in their own lives? We may not know where our journey will take us, who we will meet along the way, what joys and sorrows we will have to face, but we do know the promise of God that the psalmist sings about. God will be our sun and our shield. God will bestow on us grace and glory. God will not hold back any good thing for those who walk with integrity. Happy are the ones who put their trust in God. May we live that trust on our journey together and know that happiness in the journey ahead. Amen.